Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
The head chef was talking about his congested heart failure issue that he was dealing with, but I forgot to turn on the recording, so we'll pick it up about 60 seconds into it. Here you go. All Marine Radio. Not its finest moment, but hey, it happened.
And with the IVs and stuff, and then they released me. Stupid people.
They sent you
and,
home?
No, they released me, and I've changed my diet considerably. They have me on this program where every morning I have to, and it's a computer thing that's hooked right to the clinic. So I got to do oxygen levels and weight, blood pressure, pulse, heart rate. And I've been pretty religious with my diet. I'm down about 27 pounds. So just chipping away.
Okay.
Trying to.
Okay. So, but this is just to be known. This is now the wire brushing part. Okay, so that everybody knows what happened. Congestive heart failure.
Yeah.
Now, this is not the first time that this has happened, but you have a you have a discipline problem, and so now they can you're having to report your daily vitals to them, which ought to be good for an undisciplined person. You're going to have an external source of discipline, which isn't a bad thing. So is it just is it your lack of discipline? Because I think that there's a, for you in particular, somebody who spent a lifetime around good food, around good wine, as we get older, not being able to eat certain things and is problematic for you, to say the least. Yes or no? Is that how, I mean, come on.
I'd say that's pretty spot on, man.
Is that pretty fair? Because I mean, and there's some people that would say, you know what? If I can't do the things I like, then come on, man. Like, why am I here? What am I still here doing? Drooling in a bowl so you can say hi to me? Sorry, I don't roll like that. So how do you make sense of all that? Plus, you have a lovely wife.
Well, pretty much it's called portion control.
Really? Is that all it is?
Yeah, like a 6 ounce chicken breast instead of 2 6-ounce chicken breasts.
Hello, hello, fat boy.
Yeah, that's pretty much the goal. And I, you know, I don't drink that much anymore, but I occasionally have a glass or two of red wine with my pasta or my white wine with the fish, and I, you know, I very seldom drink beer. I like, you know, there's stuff I like, but I just, it's not a regular thing for me. When I was in the restaurant, you're around it all the time, you know, booze, wine, everything, lots and lots of food to taste, and so it's just, I have to pull in the strings, and congestive heart failure is going to kill me. That's a fact.
Okay. But, what is congestive heart failure?
Well, part of my heart is dead, and it just doesn't function. dead is kind of a harsh term, but that's
it is. That's
and you have to keep your juices flowing as long as you can, and then pretty soon you can't breathe, and that's the end of it.
And it's brought about. It's brought about by for you. It's brought about by your diet.
No. For me, as they found out about 10 years ago, it was a heart defect from birth.
Oh.
And I've been powering through it ever since.
Hmm.
You know, hasn't stopped me from doing anything.
Does the fact that you're a diabetic, does that affect it at all?
Well, yes, it does, because I'm an adult diabetic. That was discovered about 10 or 12 years ago. And that was from my blood sugar being too high from eating too much sweet stuff and stuff with sugar and salt in it. And so, you know, I'm down to, I don't know anybody that doesn't love salt. And
are you kidding me?
My intake for salt is a teaspoon a day combined.
What?
That's a teaspoon. T-E-A spoon.
I think I
a minuscule amount.
Some
people fart that much stuff. So
I use that much on an ear of corn on the cob that I ate yesterday.
Exactamundo.
I just use the corn on the cob as a way to eat salt.
All corn on the cob is a vehicle to hold butter, salt, and pepper.
How true is that? It's so true, though. You know, I was reading that the whole potato chip industry is a receptacle for salt. So that you can drink salt with have something salty that tastes incredible with carbonated drinks.
That's the combination. That's the hook. Savory,
man.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And that's the story of our country is savory sweet, but mostly sweet. But you know And my wife loves potato chips, and she says, yeah, look, I found these low-sodium potato chips. And I says, well, what's the sodium? Oh, it's only 50, and that's 50 milligrams. And I says, well, how many? Oh, 4. You know, if they're full-size chips, you know. Well, you know. Tell me anyone you know that would eat 4 potato chips and push the bag away.
Yeah.
Do you have anybody in your repertoire?
No. Are you kidding me? That's only the start. That's the tease, man. Is there anything better than a bag of Lay's potato chips, just the yellow kind, right? Where they're.
For me, it's in the kettle cooked chips.
Yeah, really?
That's my downfall.
I could eat those too. I'm a chip guy, but you know what I found? I can't eat them. I have process now as I've hit. I have problems as I've hit 60 years of age with wheat, and I have problems with processed food. I'm evidently allergic to some of that stuff. And so I thought it was just wheat, and then I stopped eating. So I would eat corn chips, right? So I look at the package, and it says cornmeal, citric acid or something else, and 2 other things, mm-hmm. right? None of them say wheat. Like, yeah, this is good for me. No, it's not. It's not. I kept having the same issue, and I thought, okay, let me stop eating those. And it stopped. And I was like, God almighty, man. What kind of life is this? So, like, think about that. Wheat, man. Sandwiches, cake, pie, Hostess, Hostess Cupcakes.
Cherry pie? Are you kidding me?
Hostess Cupcakes with Pepsi in the morning for breakfast? Hello? That's like the breakfast of, that's like the Mondo breakfast of champions. So, yeah. Like, all of that goes out the window. Yeah. Fresh baguette with butter? Ugh.
No.
Hello? Like, come on. Like, what is this?
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing. I don't eat bread. I had bread. Beth was making some breadcrumbs for the chicken, stuffed chicken breast the other day. And I got three inch end of a baguette.
Okay.
That was the extent of my bread.
Don't even.
Well, I could eat the whole goddamn baguette, the foot of it. But she gave me 3 inches because I like the end of the crust. But that's okay.
It's really.
You have to adapt and adjust.
It's really not. It's not okay. Okay. I don't know whose idea this is about like food allergies and stuff like that. I don't care for it at all. Okay, so whatever.
Well, here's the skinny. Here's what I'm.
I love junk food, and I have a sweet tooth. Oh man, so not being able to do that. Ugh, my God.
Well, you got years and years. You don't because you're in such good shape. That shouldn't be an issue with you ever.
What?
But for me, it is an issue, and. And I just kind of figure I'm going to, lose some more weight, then I'll go on a binge for a week. and then not a binge like junk food binge.
Right.
But like, you know, I'll have a piece of prime rib.
Yeah.
Maybe a 6 ounce piece of prime rib instead of a 12 ounce.
Can you do that?
That's in a whole baked potato, that kind of stuff. Not potato chips or sandwiches or things like that, but, you know, eat pasta. Eat a bowl of pasta. Like this Fra Diavolo we're going to work on today.
Yeah.
There's so many applications beside what this recipe says. So, but, it's just the way it is. And I certainly, don't have a problem living with it. I don't go out much anymore. I don't hang out in restaurants. I go in during the day when they're working and say hey to everybody, and then I get the hell out of there. Oh, Kim, try this. No, that's okay. And I'll take a little, teaspoon and lick the sauce or something and give my opinion, but that's the extent of it. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's just the way it is, man.
All right, so we need you to take the pledge that you're going to do better, though. Okay, say, I pledge.
Well, I'm going to take the steel wool pledge. I have to do better. The nurse, the cardiology nurse said to me this past Monday, she said, you know, if you take care of yourself, you got a lot more years ahead of you. It's not over. So, snap out of it and get with the program. And she could have thrown me up against the wall. She was a serious woman. And I said, yeah, okay. And Beth was in the room, and she heard it. And so there's the backup. But, yeah, you know, as long as I'm feeling like this, Matt, I'm content. I'm happy. I don't mind the diet stuff. It's, you know, when you start losing it, and I just, you know, you never want to be a burden on anybody. Just, you know, push me out, push me, you know.
Hey, we'll leave you out one night in the winter.
Yeah. And that'll be that.
You can go to your maker, sit next to your grill.
That's it.
With a
48 ounce steak on there.
Oh yeah, you could sit out there and eat. You could eat while you're freezing.
There you go.
How about that? That's not that's actually not a bad plan.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think it is. Look, we're gonna start with prime rib. We're gonna have the full.
That's funny. That's,
eat the full baguette. Right. We're gonna this is gonna be an enjoyable experience, for God's sake.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna have a pretty nice ride the rest of the way. I just gonna take care of myself a little more. That's all.
All right.
I do need to lose weight. I'm feeling a lot better now, and they're readjusting my medicines. I have to go see a kidney doctor on Monday because my kidney functions weren't working, and it's not from booze. That's for sure. It's just with all the other medications I take, and they have to get it balanced out. But that's enough of that shit. Now you know where I am.
All right. Well, people were concerned. I was getting asked, like, "Well, wait, what's going on with this chef? Why is he not here?" I said, "Well,
yeah. Well, thank you, Mac, and thank you everyone out there. This is part of my therapy every week, coming on this show and sharing stories and recipes with you all. It's a big deal to me. And Mac and I have been doing this for a long, long time."
That's right. The all right. So now that you've taken the pledge, I'm trying to think if I have any other axes to grind with you before we start talking food.
Oh, gee, check your watch.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Mac, tell the chef to get his shit together. Nice to have him back. Nice to have you back, chef. Be well. So.
Thank you. God bless. Thank you very much.
That comes from Onion Man in Vacaville, California, except they don't do onion.
I've been to Vacaville. I drive from San Francisco, and you come near Vacaville, and you cross that bridge, and all you smell are onions.
Not anymore.
And that is one of
the- Not anymore. The onion place went away. It's a thing of the past.
That was the greatest goddamn smell in the world, going to Lake Tahoe. I look forward to that smell in Vacaville. Oh, jeez. Say it ain't so, Joe.
I know. So he doesn't want to be tagged with Onion Man, but that's his name. Onion Man from back.
I'd be proud to be tagged with Onion Man. That's good. Well, thank you, Onion Man.
All right. So, let's see. What else? Is there anything else I was going to talk to you about? Okay. So we're going to talk about shrimp fraud. I've heard of Diablo. Okay, so what is Diablo? It's shrimp.
Fra Diablo means devil monk.
Devil monk? Now, what?
Yes. Fra is monk. Diablo is devil in Italian. Diablo.
I don't like that.
They always, over across the lake, they mix, you know, French and this Italian. They mix everything back. And it's Fra Diablo, but it's spicy red tomato sauce, but it means.
Okay, so let me ask you. I've seen that before. So does it normally connote a dish that's a little bit hotter?
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right. I'm okay with that. Okay, so you may see that tag Fra Diablo or Diablo. Attached to other terms, normally when you see that, for now, all you menu non-Italian speakers, is normally something that's going to be probably a little bit hotter in terms of its spice temperature. You know, the other thing that I saw in reading this, and for everybody, if you want to take a look at the recipe, you want to look at some pictures, just go to the read board right now. You'll see shrimp. Oh, I screwed it up. You'll see shrimp Diablo, but it should say shrimp Fra Diablo. The subheadline is, for a dish that didn't remind us of rubbery seafood and spicy marinara, we started by getting the shrimp's briny flavor to come out of its shell. Now, I will tell you this. One of the great disappointments, if you like Italian seafood, which in my opinion is absolutely delicious, okay? And I first had it in San Pedro, California, at the home of Joey Amalfitano, who was one of my dad's coaches with a couple different teams. Joey was from San Pedro. His dad was a fisherman, and his brothers were in the business. And his mother was still alive, and we went down there on a Sunday and had Italian seafood, which I never really had in my life. I don't even know. All I know is we get to San Pedro in the Italian neighborhood, and you got the little white picket fences. You got roses all over the place. We go in, little gray-haired Italian lady, and we go in the house, the brother, the family, and almost something out of like a Godfather movie. And a big table was set for 15 or 16, and there was food everywhere. And I will tell you this, Kim, it was absolutely, positively delicious. Absolutely delicious. Yeah. And so when I saw this, I thought of my sentiment when I go and I order Italian seafood and it comes out rubbery and it doesn't taste very good. And it makes me unhappy.
And here is why. With this dish, you get the flavor from peeling and deveining your shrimp and setting them aside. And then you take the shells and you take two cups of wine and you put a tablespoon of olive oil in the 12-inch saute pan. You cannot use cast iron because cast iron reacts with tomato sauce, the acidity in it. So you have to use a stainless steel pan or a heavy bottom Teflon pan. Okay?
Yeah. Wow. But who knew?
You with the shells, you get the oil smoking a little bit, a minute or so on high. You throw the shells in the raw shells, and you stir them around. You stir them around for 2 to 4 minutes, and you want to brown them and get the flavor out of the shells, and then you take it off the heat and you throw in the white wine, all of the white wine. It'll steam up and like a little volcano, and you let that simmer down, you let it come down, and you put it back on the high heat, and then you turn it down to simmer, and you reduce all that white wine in there until you have about 2 tablespoons. And then you add, you've strained your tomato, you'll see the recipe, and you strain the tomatoes and poke the holes in the whole tomatoes. So the juice, all you do is have a bowl of juice. You throw that bowl of juice in with the 2 tablespoons of wine and the shell, and you cook that for about 5 minutes. And then you strain your sauce, the shells and the tomato sauce, and then you wipe the pan out, and then you start, the recipe has how the progression of how to build up your flavors with your garlic, the red pepper flakes. That is, you know, you go into a pizza joint, you see red pepper flakes on the table. That is the basic, Italian heat source is red peppers. And the more you use, this recipe has 1.5 to 1 teaspoon. My wife would use 1 teaspoon to 2 teaspoons. But it's very hot, so be cautious.
Okay.
Depends on your heat ability.
Heat tolerance.
Now,
okay, hold on. I have a question for you. Mac, you just said something yes. I didn't really understand, and I know you always encourage us not to be afraid to be stupid, even though you said you'll make fun of us. I do say that. Okay. There are stupid questions, but if you're afraid to ask them, just go away.
Don't ask them.
The term he used was devein. What did that mean?
Okay. You have a shrimp in a shell. You take the shell off. You have these little legs. I pull all those legs down towards the tailpiece. Then I lift the shell off and set it aside. Then you have a little, you see a black vein on the back of the shrimp. And that is its poop chute. And you want to take a little paring knife. You don't want to cut it deep. You just want to cut deep enough to rinse that out. Okay? And then you pat your shrimp dry after you get them all deveined. But that's what deveining means.
All right. Easy enough. I think we've all seen that.
That was a great question, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. I should have asked that. That's normally my job, to make him decode the cook code. Okay,
yeah.
Here's another one. Matt, could he go back and talk about cast iron and tomato? I routinely make my biscotti using a cast iron skillet. It is great for the Italian sausage that I fry for my sauce. Am I screwing this up, Chef?
Well, if you can saute all the sausages you want, but you should put them in a stainless steel or an aluminum pot because the acidity from the tomato interacts with the cast iron, and it gives it a little funky flavor. Now, what I would recommend doing is you put your sausages, you cook everything right in the pot that you're making your sauce, because you want to get the brown particles from the sausages or meatballs or chunks of meat, and then you take a little red wine, and then, you know, it could be a cup or two. And you pour it in, and then you take a spoon, a wooden spoon, and you scrape all those little bits and pieces off the bottom so they don't burn, but they will add flavor to your sauce when you add the tomato.
Oh, man, you're making me hungry for biscotti right now. What kind of wine?
But that's the way I would go. I would not use cast iron.
Okay, what kind of wine?
Your spaghetti.
What kind of wine would you use?
I would use a Chianti, a red Italian table wine. It doesn't have to be as cool as a Barolo or a Chianti Classico. Just an Italian red table wine.
That's pretty broad.
Because you want the flavor of the wine, you will burn the alcohol off so kids can eat it.
Okay. Okay. But your favorite is a Chianti?
Well, that's because I worked in Florence, Italy, which is right in the middle of the Chianti region, and I still drink it. If I can find it. Now, Chianti Classico, folks, it's a bottle of wine, and it has the Gallo Nero, the black rooster, on the neck of the bottle. And that black rooster means it's from the Chianti Classico region of Italy between Siena and Florence, and it's certified by the Italian government that it is what it is, Chianti Classico. You can buy Chianti that doesn't have that on it. It's good. It's just not as good for me. But It'll certainly work in making a spaghetti sauce. But any red table wine would work fine. I prefer any kind of red Italian table wine because they use the Sangiovese grape. That's the grape of the region of Tuscany. Okay?
Very good, very good. I like that. Makes me hungry right now for something Italian. Here's another email. Can we talk about shrimp? What kind of shrimp would he buy? What kind of shrimp would he buy for this dish? Hold on. Here's another one. Here's another one. Rooster. I was in Tuscany 1 year ago. I had the Chianti with the black rooster. I also had some shipped home. It's excellent. Wow, that's Onion Man. Onion Man, he's not just a rube. Here we thought he was some dude driving a pickup truck all this time. He's actually cultured. I'm impressed. Very well.
And that black rooster is called the Gallo Nero, which is rooster black, which they reverse it like Radiable.
Gallo means, G-A-L-L-O means rooster?
Yes. Gallo Nero. The black rooster.
The black rooster.
Gallo is rooster.
El Gallo Negro.
Nero. Nero.
Nero.
N-I-R-O.
N-I-R-O?
I think so. Pretty sure.
That's Italian. En Espanol, N-E-G-R-O.
Yeah.
Okay.
P-A-L-L-O.
Okay. So, go back now. So we're going to use some kind of either stainless steel or Teflon pan to do our sauce, and we're going to
have a heavy bottom, Mac.
Heavy bottom.
You know, look, go to the store. You'll see there's a little layer of aluminum on the bottom of these pans. You don't want a thin bottom pan because it doesn't distribute the heat evenly. That is the whole purpose of having a heavy bottom pan. With a little layer of aluminum, and it could be encased in stainless steel. But when you pick the pan up, you'll know that it's a heavy bottom pan. That's the best I can say. But look for it. Don't buy some piece of tin.
Okay, you heard that. Don't buy a piece of tin. Okay, look for something with a thick bottom. Okay, but we're essentially... We're using all that gurry and all that stuff to build our sauce, yes?
Yes, we are.
Okay, all right. And that stuff that is sticking to the pan and all that, that's all good flavor, good stuff, man. That's what we make gravy out of, for God's sakes.
Amen, brother. Yeah. And that's why you dump the white wine in the shells to pick up any pieces. And then you strain all of that into a bowl, another bowl, okay? And then you have an empty sauté pan. You just take a paper towel and wipe that out. And then you add 2 tablespoons of the oil. And then you have minced garlic cloves. You have red pepper flakes, and a little dried oregano, and the olive oil starts to sizzle. You throw the garlic in. You kind of get that going to where it starts to turn brownish, yellowish brownish, and then you have 2 fillets, anchovy fillets, that have been rinsed, patted dry, and minced. That's diced real, real fine. And that gives you a base.
Anchovy fillets? Like the anchovy that I don't really like on my pizza? That?
It comes out of a little can packed in olive oil and about a million grams of salt. and you rinse that. And you rinse that in cold water and get all that crap off their little, maybe 2-inch, 3-inch long fillets. Just 2 of them. It gives the sauce a big, big flavor, man. Big flavor.
Big flavor.
And then you take, those old tomatoes that you punctured for the juice that have been sitting in a bowl, and you dump those on top of this mixture, and you take a potato masher and mash them. You just want to crush them and mash them. And then, folks, you add that tomato sauce that has been sitting patiently waiting to go into the big jumbo jockey pot, and you let that cook for 5 minutes, and you add your fresh, but you let it cook for about 5 minutes. It thickens up, and you cook it over medium heat, and you just let it get a little thicker. Now, here is the art form with rubber shrimp and cooking shrimp. Shrimp, everybody overcooks shrimp. Everyone. And when you put your shrimp in, you put it in for about, I would say, 2 to 4 minutes, depending on the size of the shrimp. And you're stirring them constantly and turning them over. Now, this recipe calls for 1.5 pounds, which the count per pound is 26 to 30 per pound. Okay?
Okay.
Now.
Okay, let me ask you one question.
Yes.
So, Stupid People Cooking, I worry about cooking pork because you're not supposed to undercook it, right? But I don't want to eat well done pork, okay? So that gives me some anxiety, making sure that it's cooked but not overcooked. Is there any danger in undercooking shrimp?
No.
Okay, so if I undercook it, I'm gonna have a little bit undercooked shrimp, but it poses no health hazard. So there's no reason to essentially give it the Bismarck press treatment, is there?
None whatsoever, okay. Matt.
All right. I just want to
the
make sure.
The heat, when you're cooking something that's cold, the outside gets the heat and the inside, which is cold, draws the heat in. But if you leave this, that's why you just put it in the last, after the sauce is done, and it takes 2 to 3 minutes to cook this size of shrimp. The recipe says, 2 to 4 minutes. I don't like that. I don't trust it, because if you take that shrimp, you put it in a serving dish, the shrimp is still going to cook. And when you bite into a shrimp, you want it to just be moist. You don't want to bite into a piece of cardboard. I mean, it'll be white on the outside, and where you've deveined it, that curls up. You'll see it. Now, if there's 2 things I want to say about buying shrimp, you can go to your counter if you live in a place that has fresh shrimp, and you buy those, of course.
Of course.
But not the little ones. You don't want them any smaller than 26 to 30 per pound. I used to buy 16 to 20. 4 per pound for your shrimp cocktail that you devoured so much. And then
I like that.
For the crevettes for your seafood mixed grill, I bought 8 to 10 shrimp per pound.
Ooh.
Which are like mini lobster tails.
We like that.
But you don't need to go there. That's not what you want to do for this dish. you want the 26 to 30 shrimp is plenty. And if you're shrimp eaters, then use 2 pounds of shrimp, of 26 to 30 shrimp. Okay?
Got it.
Now, and here's another tip. This dish goes great over rice. It goes great over pasta. And so, you know, if you're feeding, you do this much, and say you're having 6 people over for dinner, 8 people for dinner, well, this with pasta is great. And you can use that or rice. My grandmother used to serve this dish over rice, and I loved it.
All right, let me ask you a question here.
Yes.
Coming out of an email. Mac, first of all, it's great to hear the chef again. I have a question. I am similar to Mac in that I can't tolerate wheat. Is rice an acceptable substitute? I don't think what rice is wheat, but I'm not really sure. Can you make me smart?
It's not wheat. You can use rice. I live in an area where I go over and get the wild rice from the Native Americans that, you know, they pound in the canoe and it falls in the canoe. And wild rice, the good kind, is like long grain, brownish green in color. Now they process it, some of it, to where it's short and black. And it's wild rice also. But it's been processed. Or brown rice, if that's your guilt. Brown rice. I'm a wild rice guy. And a white rice. I like white rice too.
Okay.
Pasta,
but both,
that's where the wheat is.
But both of those are, neither of those, are wheat. And so therefore acceptable substitutes. Well, that's good. That's good. Now I'm excited about having some Italian food for dinner tonight.
And also, you can serve this with, here we go with wheat for you, with garlic bread, or you can refrigerate it, or serve it at room temperature in tacos, as an appetizer, on crostinis, little slices of bread with one or two of these on each piece, but that's a lot of work. But I'm just giving you all options to use, or just serve it cold, but don't overcook your shrimp. That's the key. And when it's warm, and in sitting in warm, the shrimp will continue to cook. So 2 to 3 minutes, bingo, bango, bongo. I don't want to leave the Congo. And it's done.
Okay, anything else about the recipe that we've been talking about here? And I'll update it here in a second to reflect Fra Diavolo. Anything else about the recipe that people need to know about?
Well, this recipe is, I thought it's summertime, there's shrimp everywhere, and you can get frozen shrimp, but you want them, in the shell. You want to buy shrimp in the shells.
Why?
You don't want to buy peeled and deveined shrimp, because that, you can't get the flavor in the sauce without cooking the shells, browning the shells, and the white wine and all that we went through today.
Oh, really?
So buy shrimp in the shells. Take the time, if they're frozen, to thaw them out overnight in the fridge. Then peel them and devein them, and then put them in a bowl. You don't have to rinse them out. Just devein them and throw them in a bowl. And that's it. Now, ceviche, you were talking about getting sick from seafood. Ceviche is raw fish that is cooked in lemon, lime, orange juice.
Yeah.
The acid in those will cook that fish in about a half an hour or so. So that when you see ceviche, that's what that is, folks. Don't be afraid of it. Try it.
I'm a big fan of ceviche. It's normally it's more normally got a little bit of kick to it. So
yes, it always has some kind of chili peppers in there. And please, please, whatever fish you just don't overcook. That's all.
Just don't overcook it. The
I beg.
Well, you know what? Everybody does it though. I mean, I think everybody can relate. And again, for me, it's this, I see it, I read it on the menu, and I'm so excited, and then it comes to you, and it's brutal. You can't do a whole lot with it. And you thank God, could I get some more marinara sauce to pour on this rubber so I can slug it down?
Here's why that happens, Matt. Say you get a bowl of cioppino, since we're Italian. Or that's a fish stew, and it could have crab and shrimp and mussels, clams, calamari, oysters. It could have every fish in the sea in there.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What's the difference between cioppino and what is it called? Bouillabaisse?
Bouillabaisse. Cioppino is Italian and bouillabaisse is French. And they use saffron. They use saffron in bouillabaisse, which makes it kind of yellowish.
The
herb saffron.
Okay.
But the key to cooking anything fish is whatever takes the longest to cook is what you put in first. You build layers of flavor. And the last thing that should go in is your squid, your calamari. Because they just basically want to eat that stuff through and warm it up. And it'll still turn color from opaque to a little white. But then it won't get rubbery. And that's what happens when you overcook shellfish or squid. It gets rubbery. Crab, a Dungeness crab. If you're living in California, you're in God country for crab. So, New Orleans, Maryland, blue crabs, it's everywhere, baby. You just don't overcook it. That's it.
It's so frustrating though when I see it and you're all excited, then you taste it. You're like, oh man, they did it again. They did it again. Here's another question. Hey, Mac, I've heard you talk about cooking marinara sauce with a little sausage. In terms of doing the same thing and adding some seafood to it, does Kim have any recommendations in terms of, I would think, sautéing shrimp or crab and turning that into a pasta sauce with marinara. If you were gonna do kind of a seafood marinara thing, you're just warming the crab up, yes?
Yeah. And is there sausage in there too?
Should there be? That's what they're asking. If they weren't gonna use meat, they were gonna use fish.
No, you go ahead and use your meat and but that has to be cooked through before you start adding any seafood. And then you won't overcook the seafood.
Got it.
You can get away with that for sure. You don't want the sausages in big, big chunks though.
Okay.
Maybe one inch, 2 inch pieces.
So you would do the meat and the sausage? You would do the meat and seafood in the same thing?
Yeah, you can if you want, but you have to cook the seafood, I mean, the sausage in the tomato sauce first. And then you add your fish later. It's not recommended, but, you know, you're not going to hurt anybody. You can do two dishes, two separate dishes too. One of meat sauce and one of seafood sauce.
Got it.
Which is what I would recommend.
All right. The I'm just looking at an email. Mac, first of all, tell the chef, have some discipline. He is, after all, the chef of All Marine Radio. It's not like we need some undisciplined shitbag as our chef. So tell him to embrace his marineness and get his butch on, and then in parentheses, a term he uses frequently, right, and get it together. Yeah.
And my wife is smiling right now.
Yeah. You want to be the All Marine Radio chef? Get your butch on.
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right. He goes on to say, so if I'm wheat intolerant, white rice is okay. I don't like the idea of combining meat and fish, though. To me, they're two clashing tastes. When I like my seafood, I like my seafood.
He's right. The meat is a dominant, heavy.
Right, heavy taste.
The seafood is more delicate. I'm saying that you can if you want, but I wouldn't. You can do any darn thing you want if it tastes good, pretty much. But I would not recommend doing the both together.
All right. All right. Anything else that you have to report before? Have you seen any good movies lately? Have you done anything exciting lately other than kind of do your thing?
We went to see The Equalizer with Denzel Washington. The Equalizer 1, this was a sequel, didn't have the ending that the first one did, but I'd still give it 4 stars. But the first one had a 5-star rating for me.
The second one not so much.
Well, I think they're setting it up for a third one. A finale. That's just my guess. I have not a clue, but it ended, and it was action packed. I'm an action guy, and I enjoyed it very much, but it just kind of left me with, yeah. Well, who's the bad guy in this one? The first one we knew, but so we'll see and. And Beth wants to go see the new Tom Cruise Mission Impossible on Tuesday. So we'll see that on Senior Day. We'll get $5 off our ticket or whatever it is.
Really? What? Yeah. So what do you?
God bless Bobby. What?
All right. Anything else exciting going on? How's the weather up in North Dakota?
Well, it was a little cool yesterday in the 60s. Now it's 78 today. And, we're in for a 2-3 week stretch of heat, in the 80s. Not like you guys are having, but
yeah, it was hotter.
It's been a great summer, Matt. Been a really good summer.
All right. And we're hitting the weather-wise. And we're hitting the last, 30 days of it. So August coming in. Most kids go back to school in August. So
yeah, they do right here.
Yeah, so
they get out in May and go to school in August.
Yeah, we don't do that, but most others do. I still like more traditional. I still like more traditional. Go to school through mid June. Go back in the early part of September. Too hot in August to go to school.
After Labor Day.
Yeah, it's too hot to go to school, man.
I don't like seeing kids go to school before Labor Day.
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you what. Well, depending on where you are, most of the country is still pretty warm that time of year, and so I hated it, man. Here's what I hated. I hated coming in from recess, still sweat my ass off, and then I'm gonna sit in that molded chair that I used to sit in. And I'm sweated through, my underwear up my ass. I was just not happy about it. Not happy about it. And I had these, like, the elastic overlaps on my underwear sit, like, right under your ass bone if you're wearing, like, kids' underwear, like, marble bag style.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, and I used to hate that, man. I was like, man, I'm, like, constantly, like, why are you moving in your seat all the time? Sorry, Mrs. Spister. I'm trying to get my elastic on my underwear to sit right while I'm sitting here sweating my ass off. Sacramento, yeah, it's like over 100 while we're out at recess, and it's not like we're slowing down or anything like that. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of, like, going to school in August. That's lame as shit. So, anyway, just memo to all you school administrators out there.
Yeah, lighten up.
Yeah, set my people free. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't make me send the frogs and all the rest of that shit for you. No need for that. All right, Chef. First of all, it's awesome to hear your voice again. All right.
Great to be here.
All right. And tell Miss B we said hello. Thank you for the pictures. She always does awesome in terms of supporting you. So thank you for that. And to echo the sentiment of listeners, get your shit together, bro.
Thank you, Max, for your concern. I will do my best.
Yeah, earn your title, Chef of All Marine Radio. That's right. Earn it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Later. Have a good day.
Yes, sir.
All right, dude.
Thank you, everyone.
There you have it. The All Marine Radio Head Chef. That's right. The one and only. Kim Holmes. So, yeah. Now, you know what? Good to hear his voice again. Good to hear his voice again. As he said, he and I have been doing that since at least 2000, off and on as I've deployed and not deployed and stuff like that. But he is Colleen's godfather, and he's a wonderful guy, a wonderful human being. With that said, we'll take a break. Gunner joins us next on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. Don't touch it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits,
and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.